Good morning, everyone. I want to wish all of you a happy Shushan Purim. Today in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, Tveria, other walled cities that go back to the time when there was a wall, if there was a wall around the cities in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, who conquered Eretz Yisrael, bringing Jewish people to cross the Yarden. As the Torah tells us, what happened, that Moshe was denied that privilege, Yehoshua was able to bring them and to conquer the land. So we have this concept that cities that were walled from the time of Yehoshua in Eretz Yisrael, those cities don't celebrate Purim with the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah on the 14th of Adar, as we did yesterday, but rather on the 15th, which is Shushan Purim. And so in places throughout Eretz Yisrael which have those walls from ancient times, today is the real Purim. It's a very, very strange thing. It's extreme oddity that we should have this notion that there's like a kind of division. Instead of having Achdus, one, this unity, harmony, that all Jews are celebrating Purim at the same time, it ends up that it's not that way. And in fact, as the Mishnah tells us in Megillah, there was another thing that was very, very strange. Besides the cities that were walled from the days of Yehoshua celebrating a day later, on the 15th, on Shushan Purim, we know that small towns, what would we call a shtetl, a little village, where there were many, many Jews to live throughout Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah tells us a famous thing, that Kfarim Akdim in Liyom HaKnisa, that these small little towns and villages, they would read the Megillah not on the day of the 14th, but rather they would read it on the Yom HaKnisa, which means the day when they would go into the big cities, the larger population areas, such as Yerushalayim or Tveria or other cities of that sort. And they would read the Megillah, these people who come from the sticks, the farmers, right, who lived out in the rural areas, if they were celebrating Purim in the cities that were on the 14th, but these other places would possibly read from as early as the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th, not only waiting for the 14th. And so Chazal tell us that this is really something that the Megillah itself indicates, because the Megillah has this remez, Hayamim ha'elu nikra'im v'na'asim. These days are the days when we read and when we uphold the mitzvah of Purim. And so we have this very, very strange thing where it's not one Purim, not even two Purims of just Purim the 14th and Shushan Purim the 15th, but vis-a-vis the Megillah, it could even be the 11th, 12th, and the 13th, the 3 days preceding Purim. That is really a complete rarity, that we have a lack of cohesiveness, of unity, of oneness in terms of the observance of the mitzvah. Now, truly, this is not a Torah mitzvah, but it would have been a commandment, but it does come from Tanakh, because the Megillah, of course, is one of the Chamesh Megillos, the five scrolls. So we need to try to understand what this is all about. So it came across a very, very magnificent interpretation given by Kiddushei Harim. Kiddushei Harim was one of the great Gera Rebbeim from the Gera dynasty of Hasidim. He was absolutely brilliant. And he tells us that this is done deliberately, that Hashem, Bedafka, wanted this and put it into the minds of Anshei Knesset Gedolah, the men of the Great Assembly, who lived at around the time of this whole, you know, concept of creating the Chag of Purim, that they wanted Dafka, that we should have Purim stand out, be unique, completely rare among the holidays and the festivals, of course, being a rabbinic festival, that they wanted it for a very, very important reason. Because when Haman came and Haman tried to get license for genocide, to convince Ahasuerus that he should allow Haman to do the final solution, to carry out the extermination of Laharog Me'ashmid al-Gabedis Kol HaYudim, that he's going to obliterate all the Jews from the youngest to the oldest, and that Lamelach in Shovel Hanicham, it's not worth the king's, interest that he should want to keep Jews alive. Why did he say that to them? Because he used the argument that Jews, they're weird people. They're people that can't get along. They're mefuzal mefurad bein ha'amim. They don't live together in towns and communities where they want to be together. They want to love and be close to each other and share very neighborly relationships with tremendous peace and harmony and taking care and protecting and helping one and strengthening one another. On the contrary, they're spread out throughout the kingdom of 127 nations. And so you see that this people is a very contentious people, difficult people. They don't have a sense of unity. And it was for that reason that when Esther was told to go to to the king and to beg for the turning over of Haman's decree of the annihilation of the Jews. What Esther said back to Mordechai, who tried to put pressure upon her, says, I'll do it, but on one condition. Lech kenosas kol ha-yudim. Mordechai, you have to go and gather all the Jews together. And so that's what Mordechai did, and they proclaimed the fast of Tainus Esther on the 13th, and it brought tremendous unity amongst the Jews. And that was a major prerequisite for Hashem wanting to intervene and allow Esther to be successful in her petition with Ahasuerus to overturn the decree of Haman and allow the Jews to defend themselves and allow the Amalekim, the wicked people who want to annihilate my people, to be destroyed. Now, this is a very, very important lesson for us, therefore, because what this lesson is telling us is that the unity of Jewish people is our secret weapon. It's wherein we find our tremendous love coming from Hashem. And therefore, as a result of that, the Chiddush HaRim goes on to dare and to suggest that this is found not only in terms of what we call Hashkafa, the outlook on the holiday of Purim, the philosophy, the underlying thinking and concepts about Purim, that Purim is a time of unity, but that we see that unity of Purim exercised in the most powerful and in the most dramatic way that we can imagine. It stands out, of course, on this rabbinic level as the only holiday where we find dafka the lack of unity in terms of how it is being observed. As it was, as I said, in ancient times, where the people from the farms, land, the people living out in the sticks, could be reading the Megillah at a much earlier day, starting from the 11th, the 12th, the 13th. Then you have most of the people reading it on the 14th, but the people in Yerushalayim and the other cities that have walls, they're going to be reading it on the 15th. And so surely it's true for us today. We have this anomaly where our brethren, including so much of my own family, my daughter Hudi and my brother, you know, David and his wife, and so many others of us that have relatives in Eretz Yisrael, well, for some of those relatives, today is Purim because it's Shushan Purim, and they're living in these walled cities like Yerushalayim. But so many of the rest of the population of over 6 million Jews, Ken Yerbu, right? There's many more that Baruch Hashem have already celebrated Purim yesterday as we did. And so we continue to have this aberration where Purim is the only holiday of all the holidays on the Jewish calendar where we dafka want that it should not be unified, that we should not be together. We do not all have to be like one. And that this is a tremendous, tremendous lesson of what Purim is really meant to teach us. It's a lesson that perhaps goes even beyond the way in which you read the Megillah, which of course is a mitzvah of Divrei Sofim, a mitzvah on a prophetic level given to us as part of Megillas Esther in the Kisvei HaKodesh of Tanakh. It is a concept that we find in other ways as well. And one of the very cute and I think powerful and correct observations that is made based on this notion is the idea that we have a notion in terms of halacha that the Torah says, Lo silbash geva simlas isha, that a man should not cross-dress as a woman should not cross-dress as a man. They were greatly afraid of it leading to all kinds of sexual immorality. And so this is a negative commandment from the Torah. And yet comes Purim, and amazingly in halacha, even quoted by the Rambam, the co-author of the Shulchan Aruch, there is a permission granted that on Purim, it's permissible not only to get dressed up in costumes, but a man can get dressed up as a woman, and a woman can get dressed up as a man, totally against what we would normally assume is the halachic standard. And we would bash anyone who would want to do that, because it leads to a sexual immorality, to frivolity, and all kinds of licentious behavior. But the Achronim were willing to provide us with a heter to do this on Purim, and the reason was because the essence of Purim is exactly that. Stop worrying about external things, superficialities, the outside, the facade, the appearance of the person. What we want in Purim is the opposite. That in Purim you should be looking at the panemius, at the inner person. Take off the mask. Look at the person, the real person, the neshama of the person, the heart of the person, the soul of the person, the midos of the person, the enormous uniqueness of each and every Jew. This is what Kadosh Baruch Hu is begging for us to do. We were going to be destroyed by Haman because of the incredible sinas chinam. Unfortunately, that's always been the Achilles heel of the Jewish people. And Haman is the one who comes out to get us because he tells us, God, look at this nation spread out among all the other nations. They can't even live together. And that's what he argued with Ahasuerus. But we have to show Hashem that it's not true. On Purim, Most of us read the Megillah. On Shushan Purim, many of us, many Jews, are the ones who are reading the Megillah and celebrating today. And so we should remind ourselves that there's two Purims, Purim and Shushan Purim. And Jews, stop worrying about the outward appearance. Take off the masks, look at the pure heart, the soul, and the neshama of each and every Jew. Let us bind ourselves together, and be'ez Hashem, that great tzchus will protect us from all of the Hamans and the Amalekim and the Hitlers of our world today. Thank you, and I wish you all a Chag Shushan Purim Sameach and a wonderful Shabbos.